I'd like you to turn in your Bible, please, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Let me thank Mr. Greer for the opportunity again to come and preach to you people. The good people of this congregation have been very welcoming to myself, my wife, and my little boy. I'd like you to thank you for making us feel at home. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and we'll commence reading at verse 14 through to verse 20. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Amen. And we know that the Lord will even bless that short reading to our hearts. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we come to preach and give the sense of the Scripture. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that we can call upon thy name, and thou hast not left us comfortless. We thank thee for the blessed Spirit of God. We thank thee, O Heavenly Father, that the entrance of thy word, it giveth light. We thank thee, O Heavenly Father, for the light of Scripture. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And God, we pray for the Holy Ghost. For not only do we need the light, we need the power of sight. And we pray, Father, that you'll open our understanding, that you'll open every heart to receive the truth of the Word of the living God. May the people gathered before this pulpit this morning receive it as a word from God. May they get past the one who is delivering the word. And may, O God, the word have that free course. We ask, O Father, that it would have an effect. We thank thee, Father, that your word, it can meet every need. It can challenge every heart. We believe that there is a word for the saint. There is a word for the sinner. And we pray, Lord, that the word of God would come with the power of the Holy Ghost, that many stubborn hearts would be even broken down. Those who are timid and slack, O God, that, Lord, that you would stir them up. O Father, how we need a stirring in our souls as we come to enter a new year by the will and the grace of our God. We pray that our hearts would be stirred, that, Lord, that we would know that unusual and supernatural power of the Holy Ghost resting upon our lives and the ministry of this church. O God, we look at this great congregation and what a goodly number it is. But Lord, when we compare it to the land, the district and the town, we have to say, what are these among so many? There's so many, Father, and we pray that you'll thrust us out. We pray that you'll give us the power of the Holy Ghost and make every word spoken for the Savior an effective word. A word that will challenge and prick the hearts of our neighbors, our families, our work colleagues and our friends. How we need thee. Lord, shut us in with thyself. Lord, we pray for every distracting thought to be brought into captivity. And help us to sit at thy feet. For we offer prayer in Jesus' name and for our Savior's everlasting glory. Amen. Now the story is told about a man called Bob Green, who lived in the state of Maine, USA. It was in July 2008 that he was sitting down. He was having his morning coffee and he heard a cry of distress. That cry was coming from the nearby river that flowed past his house, the Kennebec River. It was a man who was struggling for his life. Mr. Green, he phoned 911. And the dispatcher told them, "Run out, throw something out to the man and try and rescue him." Mr. Green was a fisherman, and his fishing rods were sitting on his back door. And as he ran out, he grabbed one of his fishing rods and he cast his line out, and the lure snagged the shirt of that man who was in distress. And Mr. Green reeled that man safely to shore. That day, Bob Green caught a man and saved him from certain death. He literally was a fisher of men. And we have here recorded in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 16 to 20, the account of the Lord Jesus Christ calling his first disciples to leave all, follow him, and he would make them to become fishers of men. Now, this is not the first time that the Savior met these men. When we turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1, and the verse 35, it there describes for us the previous meeting. But the Savior, he had left the region of Judea. He had came again into Galilee because of the imprisonment of John. And it is this time that the Savior met these men and gave them the call to leave their professions and follow him full time. The Jewish historian Josephus, he paints a beautiful picture in our minds of the geographical context of which this account takes place. And he says, the shores of Galilee, they are a perfect paradise, producing every luxury under heaven at all seasons of the year. Seen from any point of the surrounding heights, the sea is a sheet of water, a burnished mirror set in the framework of the rolling hills and rugged mountains, which rise and roll backward and upward to where Hoary Herman hangs a picture on the blue vault of heaven. Now picture that scene in your mind. The shores of Galilee. And the incarnate Lord is walking along those shores, not for recreation, not for relaxation, not by accident, but on purpose. On purpose to call for some that he had chosen to be his disciples. There is no coincidence. And there are no accidents with our God. It is no coincidence that you are here this morning. And I trust that you will hear the call of God. Now the call of God to these men is a strange thing. It's strange because the one who is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, he finds in our poor human nature some fitness to aid him in the work. Only heaven's wisdom could give the Savior fellow laborers, men that would be a comfort to him, men that would be an encouragement to him, men that would assist him in the work of God. And what a privilege these men had to be fellow laborers with the Savior. What a privilege you have, child of God. It's involved in Sunday school, children's meeting, the bus work, to be a fellow laborer with the Lord. I want to look at under this portion that we have considered, leaving all to follow Christ. What does it mean to leave all and follow the Savior? Well, the first thing I want to look at is the call to follow Christ. Look with me at the words of verse 17. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Matthew Henry said, Christ will have followers. If Christ set up a school, he will have scholars. If Christ set up a standard, he will have soldiers. If Jesus Christ will preach, he will have hearers. And here we have in this verse the desire that the Savior has for men to follow him, for individuals to keep company with him. See, the Savior, he openly invites and calls on men and women and boys and girls to follow him. He would have our company. The one who is all sufficient, the one who is supremely blessed, desires to have fellowship, have friendship with men. He tells us in Proverbs 8 and 31 that his delights are with the sons of men. Not with angels, but his great pleasure is in those that follow him to keep company with the Lord of glory. And yet this is a social circle that many do not want to break into. They seek to have connections with the great and good of society, the powerful and the influential, but not with Christ. You know, there's millions today and they're followers of stars on Twitter. Yet here is the creator of the stars of heaven. And few follow him. Wonder, young person, you consider your phone. Consider those individuals that you've clicked to follow. Are you following Jesus Christ? Following the maker of heaven and earth. See, the gospel is the open invitation to the whosoever. And yet you think about the stars, you think about the presidents, the kings, the great and the good, and they're surrounded by entourages, they're surrounded by bodyguards, and they keep their followers at a distance. But here's Christ, and he's inviting men to come and follow him, to keep company with him. This account of the Savior calling these men, it clarifies for us that repenting and believing the gospel, as it's seen in verse 15, it results in abandoning one's former life to follow Jesus Christ in a life of obedience. Now, there are some characteristics of this call to follow Christ. Firstly, this call was a command. It was a command. The Savior walks up to these men and he says, "Come ye." That was an imperative. This was not a suggestion by Christ. This was a command for them to leave their all and follow him. And I make no apologies for saying that the gospel is a command to be obeyed. It's not a suggestion for you, sinner. Repenting and believing, they are commands. Tells us of the Lord's return in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. That the Lord will come and take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. Gospel is a command to be obeyed. There's something else about this call. It was a spoken call. God calls men to follow him through the preaching of the Word of God. He doesn't call them through mime. He doesn't call them through drama. He doesn't call them through a sandwich, although William Booth did say, wrap the gospel in a sandwich. But he calls men and women through the preaching of the Word of God. Christian, he calls out to you through the preaching of the Word of God. That's why he exhorts his children in Hebrews 10:25 not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You want to hear the call of God because the sheep hear the Master's voice. Where will you hear the Master's voice? Will it be in your home on Sunday night? It'll be in the house of God. This was a spoken call. There's something else about this call. It was a call to follow a person, not a creed. "Come ye after me," the Savior said. See, the cults, they claim that there is no salvation outside their sects. And Rome would claim there's no salvation outside her church. But the scripture is emphatically clear that there is no salvation outside Jesus Christ. Yes, the Free Presbyterian Church, we have a creed, we have a formal set of beliefs and principles, a statement of faith. But the call from the pulpit is to follow Jesus Christ. He is the sole king and head of the church. And all are subservient to him. The call is not to follow the pastor or the elders, but Jesus Christ. And I ask you this morning, what
or who are you following? The call to follow Christ, but secondly, the characters who were called. In these verses, we have the call of four disciples, Simon, Andrew, James and John, who were fishermen by trade. They were common men. They were without theological credentials or status in the world. And Christ met them as they labored like any common man. These disciples were chosen by God not for who they were, but for what he would do through them. The instruments that Christ chose and employed in setting up his kingdom were the weak and the foolish things of this world, just as he described in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He did not call men from among the Sanhedrin. He did not call men from the school of the rabbis, but he picked them from among the boats at the seaside. Why? Why did he do this? That the excellency and the power might be of God and not of man. Some of the greatest gifts to the church have been men of lowly and humble backgrounds. John Bunyan, he came from a poor family. Swingley, he came from an alpine shepherd's cottage. Martin Luther, he came from a miner's home. And these men here were called from among the huts by the Sea of Galilee. What an encouragement this is to you and me. In all our weaknesses, in all our lack of abilities, the Lord can make us to become fishers of men. There may be believers in this meeting this morning, and you do not set about the task of fishing for souls. Because you feel that you have not the talents of others, well, surely the calling of these four men takes away from every one of us an excuse. See, both pairs of brothers, they were called while in earnest pursuit of their labor. The first two, Simon and Andrew, they were casting their net into a new position in the water. We see that in verse 16. James and John, they were mending their nets. We see that in verse 19. John Trapp, he commented, God calls men when they're busy. Satan calls men when they're idle. For idleness is the hour of temptation, and an idle person is the devil's tennis ball, which he tosses at his leisure, and he sets to work as he likes and lists. Get at the fishing, child of God. Cast out the gospel fishing lure. Give out the gospel tract. Give out the gospel CD, the gospel DVD. Who knows, you might get a bite. Cast out. Get at the work. Truly, we all need to be at it. I encouraged, I have been going round. Many individuals speak of the little work they do in the quiet. The gospel tract, the DVD, the CD. They're at the work. They're casting out the fishing lure. See, if these men would follow Christ, he promised that he would do something to them. The Savior says in verse 18, that I will make you to become fishers of men. Surely every child of God, that's your desire, to rescue men. To be useful in the hand of God. And though Christ, he needs not our help, he is pleased to make use of men in extending his kingdom. He works in and through us in various ways. Firstly, when we follow him in salvation, he works conviction and conversion in the hearts of others. He uses that as a means. Isn't that what Psalm 40 verse 3 says? He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall put their trust in the Lord. Unsaved father, unsaved mother, husband, wife, son or daughter in this meeting. If you would but follow Christ in salvation, it may be the means that the Savior uses to reach your family. Not only following Him in salvation does the Lord use us, but secondly, by the believers following Christ in obedience. For then we are conformed and made into His image, and we are sanctified and meet for His use. We can be filled with the Spirit, directed to individuals, empowered for service. These men would obey. And over the next 3.5 years, the Savior, as the master potter, He would take what would seem to be worthless, useless pieces of clay and form them into vessels that He would use. They obeyed. And if you and I are to be fishers of men, we need to be obedient to His word. He can do the same for us. The call to follow Christ. The characters who were called. But in the last place, I want to think about the cost. The cost that is involved in following. One man said, it costs to follow Christ. But it costs more not to. Simon and Andrew, as they heard the call to follow the Lord, were unhesitant in their obedience. This struck me last night as I read this afresh. Verse 18. See, these men had just cast out their net. And it says in verse 18, and straightway they forsook their net. They didn't even draw it into the boat. Straightway they went. When they heard the call of God to follow Him, they went unhesitantly after Christ. It's a similar response from James and John in verse 20. It says there, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after Him. And Christ demands self-sacrifice from the very beginning. If anyone thinks it was not much that these men left, you think of the words of Peter in Mark 10, 28, we have left all. We have left it all and followed Thee. See, there was no tempting bait dangled before these men. There was no proverbial carrot hung in front of their eyes. The 12 thrones promised to the disciples was not given to them until long after this event. Christ did not offer them riches or fame or glamour or popularity. He just said, come ye after me. And straightway they went. All that was offered is that He would make them to become fishers of men. The Savior, when He calls us, He does not promise riches or health or prosperity to those that follow. In fact, the command to follow for the believer is to take up your cross. What He promises you, if you would follow Him, is a cross. And a cross signifies death. Death to your own plans. Death to your own aspirations. Death to self. Garibaldi, the great Italian military hero from the 19th century, he raised an incredibly committed volunteer army. And his appeal for recruits was rather unique, as he offered only these terms. He said this, I offer neither pay nor quarters, nor provisions. I offer hunger, thirst, forced marches, battles, and death. Let him who loves his country with his heart and not with his lips only follow me. Jesus Christ, He doesn't want lip service. He wants and desires life service. See, these four men, And these verses that we have read, they're not recorded as saying anything. But they are recorded as doing something. Talk is cheap. Many a man, a woman, a young person can promise many things to the Lord. Oh, I'll follow you. But these men, their actions spoke louder than their words. You compare that with the man in Luke 9. And he said to the Savior, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And the Savior pointed out to him the hardship of the way. You know, it may be that you'll have nowhere to lay your head. You'll have to leave your family. You'll be lying out underneath the stars of heaven. A stone might be your pillow. And then we don't read if that man followed the Lord or not. To follow the Lord in service, it may mean leaving home, family, friends, and ambitions. These men left all for Christ's sake, and it involved self-sacrifice. Following Christ as a believer involves self-sacrifice. And as a little aside, I think it's wonderful in this chapter, we have a little practical illustration of where following Christ will lead his disciples. Look at verse 36, or 35, sorry, of the same chapter. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. That's speaking of Christ. And Simon, and they that were with him, followed after him. Following Christ took the disciples to the place of prayer. Involved them getting up early in the morning. It involved them leaving off their own plans and coming to the place of prayer. And we have all heard the announcements. And you know right well about the time and the places of prayer. And I understand that there are individuals with responsibilities and work and health concerns and maybe old age. But there is many disciples of Christ in this meeting. And if you are to be following Christ practically, where will that lead you, child of God? It'll lead you into the place of prayer. Mark, he puts a little detail in verse 20 concerning James and John, that they left their father in the ship with the hired servants. And this is an intimation to their care for their father. And they did not leave him without assistance. You see, the will of God is not careless. It's careful. It's respectful. It's not reckless. And here these men, they had a care for their father and they left their father with the hired servants. These four men, they never had cause to regret what they did. In Christ they found every satisfaction of life multiplied 1,000-fold. Spurgeon said, whatever they left, they were abundantly rewarded. They had rich reward here on earth, and they have a far richer reward in heaven. Whatever a man gives up for Christ is a blessed investment, which will sooner or later bring him good interest. Listening to the testimonies last Sunday night, and every testimony that I have listened to, and every testimony book that I have read, I have never heard one single individual say, I regret it, following Jesus Christ. You'll not regret it. Leaving all to follow Christ. It was a call to follow. It was a command to be obeyed. Yet a privilege to keep company with the Savior. The characters that were called, they were weak. Weren't men of great ability, but they were transformed into men who shook the world. and the cost involved in following, summed up by the hymn writer. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken, now from hence my all shall be. Perish every fond ambition. All I've sought or hoped or known, yet how rich is my condition. God and heaven are still my own. Are you following Christ? Have you followed him in salvation? Are you a child of God following him in obedience and sanctification? Maybe there's an individual in this meeting this morning, a young man, a young woman, an older man, and an older lady. And is God calling you to forsake all and straightway leave all that you've planned and all that you've hoped for behind and to step out and to follow him? May the Lord bless these thoughts to our heart and challenge us all. Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Let's bow in prayer and give thanks to the Lord for his word. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for the great privilege it is to keep company, to have fellowship and friendship with the God of heaven. And Lord, for the privilege to be part of the work of God. And we pray, Father, that Lord, this congregation, those that know and love thee, would be up and at the fishing, Father. Lord, help us to cast out the net, to throw out the fishing lure. Help us, O Father, not to be ashamed, but a word spoken here, a tract giving there, Lord, a CD, a DVD, an invitation to the house of God, whatever it might be. O God, we pray that we would have bites. We pray, Father, Lord, that you'll direct fish into the net. We pray for individuals, young people, and God has been exercising their heart about service for Jesus Christ. Lord, they will never, never regret it. And though they feel they're not able, and though they feel their weakness, well, Lord, we thank thee that that is but fitness for the work of God. For they are the ones you call. They are the ones you equip. They are the ones you give enablement to. And we pray, Father, that we would feel the command to our own souls this morning. Come ye after me. Lead us on, we pray. Lead us in the ways of Christ and in the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. We pray this in Jesus' name and for our Savior's everlasting glory. Amen.